This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
My friend Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com comes up at the bottom of the hour. I really have kind of an amazing audio cut of the day about a dog attack, Sue, that is quite horrifying. I'm going to kind of get off politics, but we are joined right now by the governor of Missouri. Mike Kehoe is with us as we start the 5 o'clock hour. How are you, Governor? Good to have you on.
Hey, buddy. Good to be on with you. Thank you so much. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Did you come in town? Were you at the parade today?
Yes, sir. I was in Dogtown Parade today.
Yeah, pretty nice weather for that, I would say, considering how it could have been. So I hope it was a good time.
Yeah, it's always packed. You know, a name like Kehoe, you have to be in there. In Ireland, they leave the H out, so they just say Kehoe. So there you go.
I have to, you know, maybe file a small complaint. We were talking about you on my roundtable on Friday and some of the things that are happening in the legislature, certainly the police commission being set up here. Everything's working too smoothly, Mike. All right? I need some controversy and stuff that I can complain about on the radio here, and you're not really providing that right now. Stability is not a good thing for a talk show host.
If anybody can get controversy going, Mark, you can do it. So I'm confident in you. But we've had an interesting start to session, interesting in a way that actually people are holding on to their core values and still working with each other to figure out, A, how to stop things that's bad for Missourians, and then, B, how to actually get something done. So big kudos, though, not to me, it's to the leadership. Cindy O'Loughlin in the Senate's done a great job. Speaker Patterson in the House done a great job. Tony Lukemeyer in the Senate floor leader, and then Alex Riley in the House floor leader. And a lot of the House and Senate members have really figured out ways to make sure their colleagues who maybe don't agree with the position they want for public safety and some other things understand how important it is to our state.
Yeah, look, I think it's great. And there's a lot of praise coming, and you're getting off to an awesome start. Let's talk about public safety, though, because obviously that played a key role in what's happening here in St. Louis. The bill gets passed. We had Nick on the roundtable, Senator Schwer, on Friday. You have not signed the piece of legislation yet, but it's on your desk, correct?
Yes, we look forward to bill review right now and make sure everything's right on it. We don't want to get something out there that doesn't fit the Constitution. And we anticipate that to go well, and assuming it does, we look forward to signing it next week.
So Tishara, who might be the outgoing mayor of St. Louis, called it disrespectful. She obviously was not a fan of this. Have you ever had any conversations with her recently about some of this stuff or not?
Yeah, I had several conversations. She was not a fan of the bill. I haven't had any recently, so I don't want to misrepresent that, but she's made it clear she was not a fan of this piece of legislation. But I tell people there's two folks that we need to listen to. One is the business community, Mark. You and I have talked about this. When they're willing to invest and move their dollars into the city of St. Louis to grow jobs and grow the economy, helping Tishara's constituents out, then I think you're on the right track for public safety. And then number two, the men and women in blue. You know, we had a tragic accident this morning on I-70 with a St. Louis City police officer, and These folks put their lives on the line every day, and they felt very, very passionate about this. Was a better tool to help who I think is doing a good job, Chief Tracy and Gabe Gore, kind of manage crime in the inner city of St. Louis.
So we had video, even our friend Jane Duker was sharing this, and I was talking about it earlier, just from the weekend, Friday night in Keener Plaza, which of course is not too far from the arch in the ballpark, mobs of kids, no cops in the area. And, you know, we've had bad things happen downtown, and I think a lot of us feel like we're bracing for another bad moment if we can't get more police and more attention to this right now.
Yeah, I've seen that video. It's quite disturbing. All while the same weekend that we had the volleyball tournament when the young lady was hurt previously. It's the same tournament that's in town. Now, this is not who St. Louis is. You and I both know that. We need to make sure that hopefully the new police commission, certainly the people I appoint, will understand how important it is to get the resources to the existing men and ladies we have and then build the police force so we have more members down there. You and I both know if you have enough folks around and enough police officers in the area, they're going to do what they're trained for, and we can sure curb those types of activities.
Governor Mike Kehoe is here. Now, look, I've followed the legislature for many years. You were in the legislature. You've been around Jeff City for a long time. It's not very often, at least recently, that you have this much accomplished by this point in the session. Now, lawmakers are on spring break right now. Thank God for that. They work so hard, Governor. But as far as the rest of the session, obviously the budget is a constitutional responsibility. What else are you hoping gets accomplished here in the remaining weeks?
Well, the budget is the main thing. That's where a lot of our priorities are. We have a Blue Shield program to help law enforcement all across the state. Blue Shield cities can now apply and qualify. There's funding in there for grants for Blue Shield cities. We have several different public safety grants. We have some child care funds in there for tax credits. Child care is an important piece of our state and really helps our economic development, letting our workforce get back at it. Several education initiatives, specifically in career and technical training and dollars to go help those schools and career and technical needs. And, I'm a big fan of that. So there's multiple pieces in the budget that help accomplish some of our goals. And then there's other economic developments. There's several bills out there that have the closing fund as an economic development tool that has a sunset. We want to make sure we work through some of those things so we can continue to track businesses. And then really, as we start in the beginning of the show, make sure bad stuff doesn't happen in Missouri. Y'all are pretty smart. You don't need government telling you what to do every day. So I think that's as critical of a mission for us to do as anything.
Mike, is there impact right now that you're sensing, or is there concern about DOGE and the effects on Missouri with some of the fiscal issues?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think every state's going to have to do their part in right-sizing the federal government. And state government, by the way, Mary Elizabeth Coleman in the Senate and Ben Baker in the House and I are all working to kind of produce our own MoDoge, or Show-Me-Doge, mm-hmm. if you will, where we're actually bringing members of the C-suite across the Missouri, executives from companies who have volunteered to us, hey, we'll help you when you look at this department, that department, that department. Take a public sector, a private sector look at a public business and find out what we can do to save money. And I think anytime we can put money back into people's pockets, whether it's at a federal level or state level, they're going to spend their money way better than any elected official can every day of the week.
One final question. You were very nice, and thank you so much for giving me a little time a couple of weeks ago when I was at the Capitol. I went over after I saw you, and I visited with Andrew Bailey. I've gotten to know him pretty well, and he was Andrew was on last week talking about this because I asked him about it, but there is a great relationship that you two have developed moving forward on a lot of these issues, isn't there?
Well, I'm so happy he's the state's attorney and my attorney. He is back of the men and ladies in the police department, and he's for putting bad guys away. And Andrew is one tough cookie, and I couldn't ask for a better guy to be an attorney for me and for the state. He's a war hero. He's a family man. I'm a big fan of Andrew's, and yes, we have a good personal relationship and a very good business relationship. Our office talks to him and his folks almost every day, likely multiple times every day. So we're thankful we have Andrew Bailey. A lot of these initiatives on crime and crime fighting and our day one crime plan would not have been possible without Andrew Bailey's personal input saying, here's what would help the men and ladies. Here's what would help the prosecutors. Here's what we need to do. So Andrew's been a big part of our crime plan.
That is awesome. Well, Governor, thanks so much for jumping on here. Any chance you might be going to Wichita, Kansas on Thursday evening by any stretch of the
imagination? I am not, but I hope they can. Hey, Mark, shout out to the victims of the storms this weekend.
Oh, yes, you should.
We had some tragic. We've lost a life, 12 fatalities, one still missing. Multiple people just I spent the day traveling southeast Missouri and then into Arnold today in Franklin County. There's some people really hurting out there, wondering what to do, and we're doing everything we can as a state. I've talked to the White House personally. The president will get engaged. We're soon to get, hopefully, a federal disaster declaration, and we're going to help these communities out. And just people's thoughts and prayers, and I've seen Missourians do their best, helping people they didn't even know, pick up trees, pick up stuff out of the yard, literally rescue people out of campgrounds and rivers. It's just been amazing what I've seen that Missourians can do. But there's some people in tough times, and we want to keep them in their prayers.
Yeah, well, shame on me for not bringing it up, because we did talk about that earlier, and we did get whacked pretty hard. And, you know, I got more messages from people around the country on Saturday because this was making some national news than I usually do. Governor, thanks so much. I know you got a lot of energy, working hard. Keep us posted. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Governor Mike Kehoe, who is doing a great job here as he gets started in this administration. I mean, the amount of bills that they've actually passed without, you know, having to have all this, you know, nonsense that occurs in the Senate, I think has been kind of amazing. I wanted to get to a couple of different issues here that I ran out of time either on Thursday or Friday or even earlier today. And one of them has to do with a situation in Illinois at a school district up there in suburban Chicago called Deerfield School District 109. And there was a meeting on Thursday evening, and there's a woman, I'm going to play a little audio here from Nicole, Georgia, who has a 13-year-old daughter that goes to Shepherd Middle School. And this story goes back to February 5th when her daughter, the 13-year-old, was in a restroom and there was a boy, a biological boy, that had been in the girls' bathroom. So the daughter was told by the administration, and this is this typical story where the school districts take the side of the trans kid. And I watched a fair portion of this school board meeting the other day. And what it was is, and I'll play you what the mom, Nicole, says, it was trans activists after trans activists going up there before the school board. Trans this, trans that, blah, blah, blah. And then there's one woman who's like, hey, what about me? My daughter's going into the bathroom with a kid who has a penis, and I'm not crazy about this.
A male student was present in the girls' locker room. Feeling violated, the girls made the choice to not change into their PE clothes with a biological male student present. The next day, assistant principal Kathy Vantrese pulled the girls into their office questioning them. The same day, assistant superintendent Joanna Ford, Kathy Vantrese, and multiple teachers all came into the girls' locker room making them change into uniforms.
So she's telling this story before the school board. All these trans activists are surrounding her, and you can see them. By the way, you know what I love about the trans activists, and I guess really any lefty activists? They still wear masks. It's the most amazing thing. They wear masks, and sometimes they just wear them over their, you know, their mouth, not their nose, but they seem to really love masks. So she, that was at the school board meeting, but she did explain this maybe in a little bit more detail on Fox.
So what happened was is my daughter and all of her PE fellow girls, they wanted their locker room back. They had originally decided on their own that they weren't going to be changing in front of this student. So they had tried to do a, like basically their own protest and not change in front of the student. So they decided one day to just not wear their PE clothes. They went to not change. The next day, Kathy Vantrese, who is the principal, the assistant principal, called each girl individually, multiple girls individually, one by one, to see who started this, what had happened, and they all got brought into the office. That same day, the assistant superintendent, Joanna Ford, Kathy Vantrese, and multiple other teachers came into the locker room and made the girls change into their PE clothes.
That is unbelievable. What is wrong with these superintendents, these principals, and these teachers at these public schools? It's disgusting. I can say with a lot of confidence that if this would happen, if something like this would happen in Rockwood, the reaction in this area would be like something you've never seen, probably. And I, you know, maybe because they, in Illinois, they got different laws, right? So they're going to say, we're following the law, blah, blah, blah. But what happened here should not happen.
I had asked the teachers, I said, you know, why is this happening? Nobody is giving me any kind of response. The only suggestion that they had was to move my daughter into a different PE class that was by Robert Wegley, the other principal. And I said, no, my daughter is not moving classes. She's not doing anything. The only thing that she is doing is she's not going to change for the remainder of the year. She's not changing her schedule. She's not doing anything else because she did nothing wrong. That's locker room is for them. I mean, what the scariest thing is, this sets such a dangerous precedent for girls everywhere by allowing men into safe spaces. Yes. My biggest concern is that an adult biological male that hasn't transitioned can freely access women's bathrooms, locker rooms, putting their safety and privacy at risk. This is common sense. Some of these girls don't even want to change in front of their moms.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What in the world? I mean, I'm hoping that we're at a point, and I think we are. We have been at this inflection point where this kind of stuff isn't going to happen anymore. But I'm telling you, you know, the one thing that I noticed, because I wanted to see how the discussion went at the school board meeting.
Right.
And I'm poking around on the video trying to find the mom because I knew that she had spoken. And I can't find her because there's so many trans activists that are going up there saying blah, blah. And of course, if you are trans, you have to have a trans kid as well. So there's one parent. Look, that's why this whole stuff is nonsense to me, because what are the odds of gender dysphoria in one family happening? They're like a gazillion to one. So it's a mental illness. And I would say this, you know, I would, and I've said this before, are there legit cases of adults with gender dysphoria? Sure. Go for it. You do what you want as an adult. If you want to cut your boobs off, you want to cut your penis off, go for it, right? But we're talking about kids. And not only are we talking about kids and what's happened to these kids over the course of certainly the last decade, 15 years, and this has been well-researched at Tavistock in Scotland, in the UK, in Switzerland, you name it. There's not a medical body on the planet right now that has come back and said that this is okay to do to kids, right? Everyone has rejected it at every turn, except for superintendents and principals and people that work for the NCAA, apparently, because they're the only ones who haven't gotten the message on this. But it's outrageous because parents, and this is a lot like the Will Thomas moment, all right? Think about what Riley Gaines and some of the others have told us. They complained about Will Thomas, and they were brought into the administration, not unlike what happened with these girls in Deerfield, Illinois. And they were told, you're going to fall in line with this because this is about a bigger moment
than you.
This is bigger than you. This is bigger than just the swimming team. It's bigger than all of that because this is so significant. It's so significant that we're going to convince ESPN to hold up the Woman of the Year title for Will Thomas, even though Will Thomas is a man. That's how nuts this has gotten. And most normal people, 98% of people understand it's outrageous.